This has been an interesting few weeks as we have moved into this series without limits. And I have found as I have come each week to prepare for the upcoming week, it's been a real challenge for me. I find that I am so limited. And it's been an interesting experience for me. And I seem... Okay. We've approached this now. This is the third week in this series, and we're going to move forward. I wanted to just briefly give you a little bit of a little catch up for those of you that might not have been here for week one of the series. Just a little bit of a review. But week one, we really focused on God's great gift to us. And we know that when we looked at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And we spent time talking about that. And one of the things that I found interesting in preparing for each of these weeks is just how much more time we could have taken at each one of our stopping points. Week one, God gave. How can we encapsulate all that God has done in just one service? And then we move to week two, and it was basically focused on our response to that. What is it that we do in response to God's gift? And we talked about the talents and things of great value that God has gifted into our lives and how we respond to that. What is it that we do with what God has given us? He's entrusted to us as stewards. And then we're going to come to this third week. We talk about, a little behind, how great God is. I want to direct our focus back to God. Because as I have looked at challenges, as we look at challenges in this road of life, or on this road of life, it's good for us to keep the perspective that God is great. When we come against challenges, when we come against struggles, when we come against obstacles in our life, no matter what they might be, it's good for us to come back to the point where we recognize God is greater. There's a caption that says, God is greater than all my needs. And I hope that each one of us were to really accept and believe that in our own lives. That regardless of what you might be facing, regardless of what challenges, regardless of what pain, God is greater. I want to give us just a moment before we move into the context of this message this morning and ask you to just respond if you feel comfortable in doing so. If someone were to come to you and say, why do you think God is so great? How do you know that God is so great? How has God been great in your life? How would you respond? What would your answer be? If anyone would like to tell us, if anyone would just like to take a brief moment, it might be that God is so good because he restored my life. God is great because he healed me. It's how God has proven himself great to you. Who would be the first to respond? Right? God's protection. He's protected. Carol said he's protected them from many, many things in different locations around the world. All right, who else? God has brought healing, peace, and contentment in Lee's life. Okay? Thank you. Sabine. That's great. Thank you. Sabine said that God has provided a family in a foreign country for herself and Uwe. That's great. Who else? His forgiveness. God is great because he forgives. Thank you. Anyone else? Say that again, David. Someone help. Experiences in all circumstances. All right? him on it, because he knows our needs even better than we do. Right? Okay? Anyone else? He gives us a real hope for the future. That's right. He offers to us gifts. He gives us gifts. What was that? Healing. Carolyn's experienced God's healing in her own body. Praise God for that. Certainly we could go on and continue to identify ways that God has proven himself faithful. God has proven himself trustworthy. God has proven himself to be who he is. And just as this little video drew our attention to, I want to ask you that same question. What if, in this series Without Limits, what if we really trusted a great God with all of our needs? Could you do that? Can you really trust God? What if we really trusted him? One of the things that I've been challenged with is to write some things down and put them in an envelope and seal the envelope. And perhaps for maybe 1 month, maybe 30 days, what if I prayed for every one of those needs, every one of those requests? Maybe some of them would involve people. Maybe some of them would involve things. Maybe some of those things, in fact, most of those things, what if they involve things I could not control myself? I could do nothing about. What if I trusted God enough to answer or respond to every single one of those requests? Now, I'm not God. Let me say that again. I'm not God. Only God is God. He is. And according to his purpose, I assign myself to say, God, it's your will. But what if I trusted him enough to really respond to those requests? What if in 30 days he answered? Now, yes, it might not be what I would want or expect or think that was best for me. But could I trust him? Could we trust God that much that in 30 days we would come before the end of November, where we would typically celebrate American Thanksgiving? I know it's not the only Thanksgiving celebrated around the world. But if we were to do that for 1 month and really trust God to answer those requests, what would it be like? In Romans 8:38, it says this, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. We have looked at God's love. We desire to be a people who share God's love. One of the things that Soul Union Church is known for is to be a people who love God and love others. Can we trust him with our love? And I would say yes. Can we trust this verse to be true, that nothing can separate us from his love? A retreat speaker challenged a group of university students by asking them to close their eyes and just sit silently for a moment. Here's what he said. Close your eyes and just picture in your mind. Picture God. And the students did as the speaker had requested. And then he said after a moment, he said, "That's too small." And I would contend that if we were to do the same exercise this morning, that if we would close our eyes and if we would imagine God, if we would picture God, our picture would be too small, because God is great. God is big. Psalm 86, verses 8 through 10, it says this, "There is none like thee among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like thine. All the nations thou hast made shall come and bow down before thee, O Lord, and they shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou alone art God." Verse 10 again, "For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God." Notice it gives as a reason, for he is great. God is great. When you say, I'm going to buy myself a sandwich because I'm hungry, the reason that we have is because we're hungry. The reason is our hunger. So when David says in the Psalms, "For you are great and do wondrous things," he means that God's greatness is the reason that we find in verse 9. That all of the nations will come and bow down before him and glorify him. Why? Because he's great. And his greatness is the reason that we see in verse 8 as well, that there is none like him among the gods, nor any works that are like his. In other words, God's greatness makes him stronger than all gods. All gods that be conjured, all gods that could be thought of, all gods that could be created and crafted, it's God's greatness that makes him stronger than all of the nations combined or their gods. He rules the gods and he rules the nations because he is great. He rules. He does wondrous things. He alone is God. God over all gods and God over all nations. He is a great God and he is a big God. Where is he in your world? Where have you allowed him to take up residence in your life? The greatness of God is central to all of life. Every pastor and every Christian would tend to agree that God is great. This is central to all life. This is relevant to everything we think and feel and do. The unparalleled, incomparable, unequaled, unrivaled greatness of God is utterly important in the ministry, in our workplace, in our relationships, in our families, in our homes, in the buildings that we live, in the places that we work. It's God's greatness that allows us to care and love others. It's God's greatness and who he is in our lives that allow us to take and share the gospel into this world. To carry the good news to every nation. Have you seen the greatness of God in your own life? Some of you responded this morning like Carolyn has seen the greatness of God. Like Aram has seen the greatness of God. Like Lana has seen the greatness of God. How are you allowing God to continue to impact and continue to be great in your life? You see, a telescope is a very small instrument. There's very, very small ones. There's very large ones. But the principle of a telescope being able to magnify something far greater, far larger than it would be seen by the naked eye. It helps people see stupendous realities in the sky if you were to look at some of these kind of telescopes. In fact, just the other night, we went up to the rooftop of our building with a telescope. We went to look at the moon through this telescope, and that telescope magnifies that. And you can see the pockmarks, as I call them, or those craters on the face of the moon. Like the telescope magnifies the object, God's love is magnified through his presence. And God loves to magnify his greatness by shining through vessels of clay. If we were to put a vessel of clay up here and I had a flashlight, it's probably not going to shine through. But like the Bible says, we are the vessel. We are the clay. He is the potter. And his love can shine through us. His love can shine through this clay. My power is made perfect in weakness, Jesus said. The issue is not smallness. The issue is not our smallness. The issue is God's greatness. Do we allow God to be great in our lives? What if we were people who have been taken captive, as it were, by the glory of God's power, by the glory of his greatness, his knowledge and love, in such a way that all human power and all human knowledge and all human love lose the power of their attractiveness because they would pale in comparison to the greatness of God? That's the issue of your impact in this area of Seoul, in this city of Seoul, in this country of Korea, and in this world. Have we seen the greatness of God? Do we share about the greatness of God? Here are two ways that God's greatness is shown in this text and how it is illustrated from what God is doing and what He is willing to do, even right here. God is greater than all gods. First, from verse 8, the greatness of God makes Him greater than all the gods. There is none like Thee among the gods, O Lord. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 5 says that there are many gods and many lords. Paul means that there are demons, there are spirits of darkness. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20. Satan himself is called the god of this age in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Or the god of this world in John 12, verse 31. But we can quickly see what Scripture says in response to that. And even Jesus says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Our God is an overcoming God. We can look at David, and therefore we can take what he says in verses 8 through 10 to mean that God is greater than all of the angels, than all of the demons, than all of the evil spirits, than all of the principalities and the powers and the world rulers of this present darkness. All spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. 1 John 5:19 says that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. But 1 John 4:4 says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. If you have committed your heart, if you have surrendered your will, if God is in your life, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I don't think we've begun to remotely discover what God would really be willing to do if we focused in a concerted way of praying and resisting the devil in specific paths of our lives, in our city and in this world. What if we could trust that God that much? There's none like you, O God. In all the world, there is none like you. Nor are there any works like thine. God is great and above all gods. God will win worshipers from all nations. He will call all people to himself. The second way this text shows the greatness of God is found in verse 9. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you. O Lord, they shall glorify your name. The Great Commission cannot fail. God will not allow it to fail. The word will go out. The good news will spread. The gospel will be shared to the ends of the earth. God can't lose. He is greater than all the nations and will exert his greatness to bring the nations to himself. The Great Commission cannot fail. Verse 9 is not a maybe, or it's not even a possibility. It's a certainty. It's a promise. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you. Now, that doesn't mean that all people will agree that this is a promise. They won't agree, all people, that this is truth. Nonetheless, God is. Jesus said the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to the nations. Then the end will come. It will happen. This is found in Matthew 24. Psalm 22, 27 through 28 says, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. In other words, again, God is greater. God is great and greatly to be praised. His greatness is so great that he cannot lose. He cannot be denied his inheritance, as we see in Psalm 2, verse 8. I will build my church, Jesus said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus will not be denied the reward of his suffering. The point is that God is building his church around the world, and this is with absolute certainty. Look in some oppressed nations. Look in some places where it's not, they don't have liberty, they don't have the freedom to assemble together, and they thrive meeting together under God's name. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you and glorify your name. There is no nation, no people that will be unreached and unresponsive. A sign of the end of the age that the word will go forth unto all creatures. The great scene of heaven shows the elders worshiping with this song of triumph. Worthy art thou to take the scroll and open its seals, for thou wast slain, and by the blood didst ransom men for God from every tribe and every tongue and every nation. It's going to happen. Jesus will not be denied the reward of his suffering. This is not a mere dream. This is a possibility that many people believe God wills to do in an answer to persistent, concerted, believing prayer and faithful labor in the truth of the gospel. Do you find yourself engaged in that work? Do you find yourself trusting in a great and mighty God? God is great and does wondrous things. He is more powerful than all the gods. He is more powerful than all the nations. The gods will be defeated and the nations will come and bow down and give him glory. Do you need this great God? Do you need God to be greater than what you're facing in your life? Do you need God to be a part of your circumstance? I invite you to put your trust in him without limits. Can you do that? I believe that you can. Can we put our trust in God without limits for who he is, for his greatness sake, for his name's sake? Can we trust him that much? What if we trusted him for who he is without limits? What would that be like? Even if as a church, as a group of people who believe God and follow Jesus Christ, what would it be like if 30 days from now we came back and every single day to that 30th day we trusted God that much? What would it be like if we wrote some things down and put them in an envelope and sealed them up and then open them 30 days later, if we tried to put that before God every single day in prayer, intentionally, and just laid it before it, great God, what if that friend, that family member, that thing, that healing, that restoration, that situation, what if? God is greater. Would you bow your heads? Our Heavenly Father, we acknowledge your God. And in that, we acknowledge our dependence upon you, our need of you. Lord, we thank you that you gave unconditionally. You gave so recklessly to prove your great love. And we thank you that we have the opportunity to respond, that we can accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We can ask to be forgiven of our sins and know that you are faithful and just, and you are able to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness, all of our wrongdoings. Lord, and in response to your great gift and your love, your grace that is extended, we take what you have given us and we share it with the world, and we multiply those gifts. And now we come and recognize your greatness because of who you are. You are the I Am. There is no name above your name. There is no God above you. There is none greater. And how you have made this personal and real to each of us is something that only you can do. And now I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to do a work in each of our hearts until the day that we can see you face to face. Until the day that you have continued to mold us into exactly the vessel that you have intended us to be. And until that day comes, we commit ourselves before you and we say, God, continue to be great. Thank you for being greater than all of my deeds. Allow your Holy Spirit to grow in us. Allow your word to expand in us so that the natural overflow is a love of Christ shared with this world. In Jesus' name.